We thank God for His grace that He has called us to know Him, and He has revealed His word to us, and made His will known to us. Like Paul says, He has made known to us the mystery of His will. So we thank God that He so much cares for us, that He does not leave us in the dark, but reveals His word to us, that we may worship Him in all truthfulness and in His spirit. Now, before we went to Malaysia, we were speaking on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, we just want to maybe conclude that thought. We spoke on the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Now, this morning we'll speak on the God of Jacob. So, let us go back to the scripture where we read Mark chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. Mark chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. And as touching the need that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we have read your word. We pray, Father God, that you be with us this morning. Lord, it takes your spirit, it takes your anointing, it takes your grace, Lord, that this word to be life to us, that this word can help us, that this word can bring forth that what you desired. So, Father God, I pray that you be with us this morning, that you help us, Lord, to understand your word, that we may walk therein. Amen. We pray, believing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, we saw that our God is the God of the living. He is not the God of the dead, and all those who worship Him must worship Him in truth and in spirit. And we know that the Spirit gives life. So we worship Him in life. Now, just to maybe recap what we went through, we saw that God was the God of Abraham. And Abraham was an ordinary man when he was in his native land, when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans. He was worshipping idols. So, he was just dead in sin and in the way he was living. But God called him. And it was the word of God that came to Abraham. And we are told in the scripture that when God called Abraham and revealed himself to Abraham, that's when Abraham built an altar to worship God. So, God then started to give Abraham his word. And as we saw last night, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So, the word of God spoke Abraham into life, because he was dead in his sin. And then he believed the word of God. When he believed the word of God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And we saw that the just or the righteous live by faith. So Abraham started to be alive now before God. And then God, because he was alive, God kept on giving him his word, and his faith kept on growing, and he was living by faith. And faith comes from hearing the word of God. So there was a continuous flow of revelation from God to Abraham. So much that his faith was not stagnant. God told him, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make you great. But because God was continually speaking to him and the word was continually coming to him, Abraham could go into the depths of the purpose of God. He could not only see God giving him a son, but he could see also God raising that son from the ashes on the altar when he obeyed to give his son as a sacrifice. You know, he kept on going deeper into the purpose of God. Then, as God was always coming to him and revealing his word, we find that Paul says he came to the stage where he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So, you know, the Bible tells us that we live from faith to faith. So our faith keeps on going up. It keeps on showing us the higher and deeper things of God.
Right.
The Lord willing, maybe tonight, when we speak on the time we are living in, we'll see how we are not just confined to a faith in God. And then we sort of stay there. You know, like there's this feeling that God sent a prophet, he gave us a message, so we stay there. Because actually, Brother Ram said, the rapturing faith is in them steps. As much as righteousness and all that makes us to be perfect is in the Bible. But you know, it's not just you shut yourself up in a room and you start reading the Bible and you think you can get anywhere. Can you see? It is the Bible that instructs us to walk according to the purpose of God. Can you see? And everything that we need is not written there, but it is there. But it's not written every jot and tittle. Can you see? Like, you know, we have the thunders. What they say is not said, it's not spoken, it's not written, but it's there. When God brings it up, you will see it will be in line with the scripture. Can you see? So, Abraham had this faith. And I believe by God's grace, this is the faith that we are being taken to. Then, this is the God of Abraham. You know, it's a God who brings life by the word until that life is manifested in you. It's not just a denominational faith. It's not just a faith that you are satisfied in just because you are healed. In just because you saw this vision, you saw this dream, you saw this. You know, you go into the deeper things of God. And so were we were also dead in our trespasses, as Paul says in the book of Ephesians. But God brought us up through Jesus Christ, for by grace we are saved. And then when this word came to us, it brings us also faith. So God is the God of Abraham in the sense that he's a God who brings faith that brings to life. And then you now advance from faith to faith into the high calling of Jesus Christ. And then we saw that he's also the God of Abraham, of Isaac. We saw that the life of Isaac, you know, he was told Abraham that after this one, your descendants shall be called. So Abraham, or rather Isaac, is the first seed from Abraham. Out of Isaac was to come all the children who will be like the star and the dust of the earth. So Isaac was a preserved or protected species, so to say. We found out how he was protected. Even before he was born, God protected Sarah from defilement, from that king Abimelech. We saw that God protected Isaac when Sarah said, send away the bondwoman and her son, that they may not be co-heirs. And we can see how Abraham protected Isaac when he sent Eliezer to go and get a bride for him. He said, don't let my son go there, but you go there and bring the bride. You know, Isaac was protected. And when Sarah died, of course Sarah died by then, Abraham married another woman and he had 6 sons with that woman. Before he died, Abraham, he sent all those sons away and he left Isaac alone. So he was protected. No, he's a God who protects. Can you see? He's the God of Isaac. He's a God who protects. You know, he protects you from anything that will cause you to miss the purpose of his word. Can you see? You know, he's not a God who just gets you and then bumps you into everything. And then you have a lot of repair and, you know. He's a God who protects. I believe this God of Isaac. He's one who can protect you. You know, you don't just bump into everything. You just don't bump into, you know, and then after bumping into something bad, then you realize, oh, this is bad. And then you go again like a centipede, you know. It can't see his way. So he bumps into this, oh, so there's no way there. So he turns. He bumps into this, oh, sorry, there's no way. Oh, sorry, you know, we don't live like that. You know, God protects. Can you see? If you have your soul purpose in him, and your faith is in him, you know, somehow he will protect you. Can you see? You know, I experienced it myself. You know, when I came out of that United Pentecostal Church, you know, I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how I could stand, but the protecting God, you know, just protected me. I could have taken up, like the brother was saying, that there were many doctrines, two souls, and this and that. But, you know, somehow, God just protected me. Can you see? That I know I do not go into that way or that way. At one time, there was a brother who said, okay, let's just come help me preach. There was an outreach somewhere else, which actually that outreach started in 1973 when we were still with that brother, when we were still in that group of the message. So that place had been just left out, so they wanted to revive it. So this brother asked me, let's go revive this place, and then I would go with him there. And then he says, okay, let's go. Help me minister to this. There was a group where there was no pastor. And then he says, come help so we can minister this group. I ministered there. And then he invited me and said, you see, James, why don't you? Here is a good place. The church is already built. The people are here. They like your preaching. So why don't you just take over this church? I said, what about the people I'm pastoring back there? Ah, no problem. We'll just take those people. I join them with my group. And then they'll be one church. He said, no. You know, if you want to have children, you should bring forth children.
Right.
Don't just be given a bunch of children.
Right.
So, I just say that. I just can't see that. You know. Now, you know. But, you know, there was a good potential there. The church was already established. I was going to get money. I was going to fly all over the world. You know, things like that. But, you know, somehow, God just protected me. Can you see? And then, at a later stage, you know, that very man was involved in some illicit things. Now, had I taken out that, I couldn't have said no to him.
Right.
Because they say, now, if you say no to me,
I get back to my church.
I try to go back to my church. My church has already been joined up there. I have nowhere to go. So you see, God protects.
Yes.
That's what he did to Isaac. Now, we come to Jacob. Let's just read from the book of Genesis about this Jacob. Genesis chapter 47. I'll read verse 8 and 9. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are in 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Now, here, Jacob is asked a simple question, and you know, whatever has been, people have just asked me this question. Brother James, how old are you? And I'll tell them, well, next year, I'll be celebrating my 25th birthday. For the second time. You know, I just say, well, I'm 49. Brother James, how old are you? Say, okay, 31st October, I'll be celebrating my 49th year. You know, everywhere I've been going, people ask me, how old are you? How old are you? But let's see here what Jacob is saying. How old art thou? Jacob says, the days of my pilgrimage have been few. Is that right? It's only 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. You know, when Jacob was asked this question, he just went back from his beginning. Now here I'm 130 years old. But how did I come to be 130 years old? He goes back to the beginning. He says, the days of my pilgrimage have been few and evil. And I have not even attained to the years of my fathers. Now, how did Jacob know that he was not going to live longer than Isaac? He could see it. You know, by the way things were going, we know that Jacob died when he was 147 years. He stayed for 17 years in Egypt. And Isaac died when he was 180 years. And Abraham died when he was 175. So, Jacob died the youngest. He was only 147 years old. And he says, the days of my pilgrimage were evil. Amen. Now, when I look at this, you know, then I see that God says, I'm the God of Jacob. How was God to Jacob when Jacob could look at his life and see how troublesome, how hard, how difficult his life was? We have seen Abraham. God blessed him. And in chapter 24 of Genesis, it says God had blessed Abraham in everything. You think of it. A good place to live. A good breakfast, lunch and dinner. Every day. Abraham was blessed in everything. In camels, in goats, in sheep. He had everything that you can think of. In gold and silver. Abraham was blessed. And Isaac was protected.
But when we come to Jacob, he says, my days have been evil.
Now, but yet God is the God of Jacob.
Now let's look at the beginning of Jacob. Jacob, before he was born, the Bible said, God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. So before he was born, God loved Jacob. God had a desire for Jacob. God wanted to manifest his power and life through Jacob. But Jacob was born with a sort of all the odds against him. According to the way things were supposed to be, Isaac was blessed of his father because he was the firstborn. And here comes Jacob. When he was born without the birthright. So automatically, he could not get the blessing. Because the blessing goes to the firstborn, who has the birthright. And here is Jacob. He loves God. We can see even from his birth. Before he was born, he was fighting with his brother. And then Rebecca had this problem. He went to God and asked, why is it so with me? And God says, in your womb, there are two nations. And the younger shall be served by the older. And then when these children were born, Esau was born first. But Jacob was born fighting. But he was beaten by Esau. But at least he came out holding on to the foot of Esau. Showing that I'm fighting to come first, but you have won. Anyway, we'll meet in the second round. He desired this birthright right from the word go, but nature did not give it to him. He was born with the odds against him. And then again, his father, he could not see the choosing of God. He could not see the choice of God. He could not see that God loved Jacob. And all his effort was exerted upon Esau. He's the one whom he would take of the morning. Come, sit down, my son. You know, according to tradition, you are the firstborn. You are going to get all the blessings. Everything here is going to be yours. And you, when God gave me your mother to wife, she did not have children. She was barren. I prayed to God because there was a promise given to my father Abraham that he is going to be a great nation. And when I prayed, God answered me, and you were born. And you are my firstborn. You have the blessing of Almighty God. You are going to be a great nation. You know, as he was telling Esau those things, Esau was busy daydreaming. He couldn't understand these things. It was not in him to understand the things of God. And here is Jacob. He's eager to know these things. But the father doesn't tell him. Because the father knows he's the younger son. He has nothing to do with all these things. So we see Jacob ends up in the kitchen helping his mother. Like Brother Branham says, he was always about his mother's skirt. That's all Jacob could do. But down deep in him, there was a grinding. I must have this blessing of Abraham. There's something that goes with it. There's something God desires in this blessing. But nature has forbidden me. Nature has blocked me from this. But in him, it was so. So, Isaac loved Esau. But Jacob, he didn't care about him. You know, that's how it is sometimes. You know, he's the God of Jacob. He calls you. He loves you. But in you, there's nothing that shows. you are the elect. Nobody can recognize it in you. Nobody is ready to you know, just encourage you that, oh, sister, God bless you. You are standing there, a sister comes, she says, oh, God bless you, this one next, and she leaves you. What's wrong with me? Nobody is, you know, is just accommodating me. Everybody is looking to this one, to that one, to that one. Everybody is bypassing me. Am I not a Christian? Do I not have the faith? When they talk of things good, they say, you know what? You know, God is so great. You know what he did? He blessed our brother. Brother, can you just stand up? Brother, Sung and his wife, you know, God bless them very much. Yes, yes. Oh, God is great. Brother Albert, you know what God did? Not one day does the pastor mention your name. They are talking about this one, talking about that one, talking about it. But what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Remember, this is the God of Jacob. This is your God.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not what men say. It's not how men see.
Right.
But it is how God looks at you.
Amen.
Can you see? This is the God of Jacob. It's not the outside. You know, like when Samuel was going to anoint a king from the house of Jesse. You know, when you look at Eliab, we say, oh, before me stands the anointed of the Lord. God said, no. The next one comes saying, okay, this, I think the throne just fit this head. The way it tips like that, oh, it does just the head for the throne. God says, no. Can you see? It's not the looks.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know, that reminds me one time. You know, Brother Foreman, his father was very sick. And, of course, he was dying. And I went to Brother Foreman's house to see his father. And eventually, I took him to hospital. So, there was a cousin of Brother Foreman, who was in the house. So, you know, I was coming from the village there. Brother Foreman had his house in the urban area, side of Stumbiza. So, I came there, and then Brother Foreman said, cousin, this is my pastor, Brother Verem. You know, the cousin looked me up and down. Up and down. Your pastor. Then finally, the old man passed away, and we had to take him to the rural home for the funeral. And then, of course, I had to go. Brother Foreman, by then, he had gone to South Africa, another country, and he was not there, so I had to go and sort of maybe represent him and represent also the church. So they said, okay, Foreman's pastor has come. Okay, and then they put me in the back of the van. Anyway, we went. Then they said, now, when we were there, they said, now, we understand that Foreman's pastor is also here, so we'll just give him a time to speak. You know, this was an Anglican church. Then I just took my Bible, then I read a scripture, and I started to preach. And then everybody was quiet. Then they could see it. It's not the looks.
That's right.
And when the funeral was over, when going back, you know, they put me in the front seat.
That's right.
Can you see? It's not the looks. Then they had seen.
Right.
Right. So, you know, God is the God of Jacob. He's not the God of looks. He's the God of predestination. Can you see? So don't worry about how things happen in your life. There must be one thing in your heart. Is there a hunger for God? Is there a longing for the things of God? Is there a desire for the purpose of God when He sends us this message? Then God is God to you. Can you see? Now, then here too. You know, He desired. But he knew I must have the birthright. Then one day, while Isaac was trying to explain the things to Esau, you know, you must be blessed. But the only way you can be blessed, go and find me. You know, you go and hunt and bring me venison and just prepare the way I like it. And then after I've eaten, I'm going to bless you. You know, he was trying to explain these good things to Esau, who had nothing to do with those things. And it's only that Rebecca overheard. Isaac telling his son. And you know, the good thing is, you know, Abraham died at 170, was it? 175? But he had a very sharp good eyesight. But because Esau could not see the predestination of God, God took off his eyes for a purpose. So here is Isaac is blind now. He can't see. And then Rebecca says, my son Jacob, I've heard your father say he's going to bless your brother. Or else before that, Esau came from the field, very hungry. And then he says, okay, give me the beans you have cooked here. Then Jacob said, I cannot give you until you give me the birthright. Then Esau says, what use is the birthright? What does it matter with me? After all, I've been baptized in Jesus' name.
Right.
I'm in the message. So what difference does it make? You know, some people have good attitude.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? I believed. And then Jacob said, give me that birthright. He said, okay, you can get it. Then he said, swear to me. Then he swore. And then he gave him the beans. He ate, was full. Given a bottle of water, he drank, and then he went. And from that day, he despised his birthright. Now Jacob had one thing in his hand. He had the birthright now. Then when the time of blessing came, he was holding the birthright. And then when he came to his father, he said, I'm your firstborn. Sure, he was the firstborn. Because he had bought it from Esau. And then, you know, He told his mother, if I go before my father, what if he says, I want to fear you? Because Esau is very hairy, you know. So what if my father discovers that I am not Esau, then he will curse me. Then Rebecca said, let your curse be upon me. I know how to do it. Then he wrapped the skin around his arms, around his neck. He took the gown of the robe of Esau, put it on Jacob. He says, now, after preparing that little goat, take it to your father. Then he goes there. Who is it? He says, your firstborn son, Esau. If the voice is Jacob's, but how come? Are you really Esau? He says, sure, Dad, I'm Esau. Okay, come, let me feel you. You know, he was wise, you know. So he came close and he smelled his garments. Oh, the smell of the garments of Esau. Exactly. Right, let me feel you. Then he felt very hairy. He said, yes. He felt the arms. Oh, very hairy. That's okay. He says, now, what if he had said, let me feel your legs? Can you see? God protected him. He is the God of Jacob. He knows, you know. He knows how far the temptation must go in your life.
Yes.
Temptation or trial or what, it will never go over bounds. It goes as far as God wants it to go. And then he says, okay, I'll give you the blessing. And we know that he was blessed. Amen. So, he got the blessing. But although he got the blessing, it was not all well with him. Now, because Esau had despised the birthright, he married the wrong people, and he did wrong before God. So he was sort of a sore to Rebekah and Isaac. So, Rebekah and Isaac had to sit down and discuss. And then they finally found a solution. They say, our son must not marry in this land. Let's go to chapter 28. One to five. Genesis 28, that is. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take there a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Let's just jump and go to chapter 32. We'll just read verse 7 only. Okay, to make the story short, let's just read verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of the of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Now, in chapter 32 is when Esau was coming and Jacob was praying to God, that, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy of all these good things you've done to me. I passed this river only with a staff, but now I'm two bands. That means he had a lot of people, servants. He had 12 sons, one daughter. He had four wives, and he had a lot of camels, goats, and sheep, and everything. Now he's just thanking God. He says, I'm not worthy. Because when I crossed, you know, he was now crossing Jordan to the land of his fathers. But when he crossed Jordan from the land of his fathers to this land of Laban, he only had his staff in his hand. Now, in chapter 21 to chapter 28, we have seen that Isaac is sending away Jacob to go to Paddan Aram. Now, let's just look at it. You know, Isaac, when he got married, he married in this very family. Because Bethuel was the sister, or Laban was the sister, was the brother of Rebekah. And their father was Bethuel. Is that right? Right. So, when Abraham sent Eliezer to go to marry in this family, they had a way of doing things. So Abraham knew how things were done there. So he gave Eliezer 10 camels laden with goods, food, and all the goodies, clothes, gifts. Can you see? And then when this camel train reached the house of when they reached in Paddan Aram, and they asked for the hand of Rebekah in marriage, the Bible tells us that Eliezer took out of the treasures that he had gifts, necklaces, rings, clothes, maybe money for dowry. Is that right? So Isaac knew this, that this is the custom of the people of Laban. But here he tells his son, go to Padan Aram and get yourself a wife. He doesn't even give Jacob $2. Yet he knows the custom, they need money there. And he just sends him empty handed. Yet he had all the treasure to give to his son to go. Why did God have to let this be to Jacob? Yet he is God. How could Isaac do such a thing and let Jacob go empty handed? You know, we find Jacob in the same chapter of 28. It says, when Jacob had come to the place that was formerly called Luz, when it was night, he found himself a place to lie down. And then he looked around, he found a stone and put it there for a pillow. If his father had given him money and treasures, he could have easily gone into the city and booked a room in a five-star hotel.
Right.
But he was denied that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to get a stone for a pillow. And then, you know, Tad, you put his head like this, so it's too pricky. He tries it this way, oh, it's not right. He turns. All night he's standing there. Then at last, you know, his sleep got him. And then he just sort of he just went off. And when he went off, he saw a ladder going up. He could not have seen it in the city in a five-star hotel.
Right.
So God had to bring him to this. Why? His father never gave him a dollar so that he could all depend solely upon God. Can you see how God does it? When he wants your life to solely depend upon him, he will make all things work right. But to your interpretation and imagination, it might be all things are working wrong. But God knew how to get Jacob to depend on him on every aspect in life. So he had a stone for a pillow. And there he lied. But God spoke to him. He says, the land you are sleeping on, I'll give it to you and to your children, and I'm going to make you a great nation. Why? Because he had nowhere to go. He had only to lean upon God. Now, you can see here, God is now forming a character in Jacob of total dependence upon him. That's why he says, I'm the God of Jacob. He is a God of total dependence. You have to totally depend upon him for everything that you need, for his promise to come upon you. He is the God of Jacob. Amen. Now, he went finally to Laban. Let's find him in chapter 31. Verse 41 and 42. Thus I was in the day the drought. Let's just start from verse 38. These 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts, I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou requite, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac cannot be with me, surely thou hast send me away now empty. God, he had seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight.
Right.
Now he was just saying this to Laban after he had run away from the home of Laban, going to the land of his fathers. And then Laban pursued him. But when he caught up with him, now here Jacob is telling us of his life. The past 20 years, he was in the home of Laban. He says, for 14 years, I labored for your two daughters. Do you know what happened when Jacob arrived at the home of Laban? When he came there, Laban sure could see that now I'm being blessed because of this young man. And then he said, now what shall I do? He says, okay, I will work. Tell me, I'll work. I want to get married to your daughter, Rachel. And then Laban, okay, said, okay, 7 years. Can you see? And for 7 years, Jacob labored for his wife. Can you see? 7 years courtship. Can you make it? You know, but there he was faithful and true. He rolled up his sleeves and said, I'm going to work. And he worked faithfully and truthfully for 7 years. 7 years expired. Dried the sweat of his brow. He approached his father and says, now, 7 years has come to fulfillment. Give me my wife. The father said, okay, no problem. But I cannot give you, you know, my daughter without some fanfare, you know, and some feasting. So he said, okay, go ahead. And they made the feasting. The people were singing and dancing and everything. And then he was given the bride. So, you know, the bride is veiled, yeah? So he was given the bride veiled. And then Laban, maybe he tried to talk to his new bride. And then the new bride never answered him. Then he said, maybe it's the custom of the land. So he never talked with her until in the morning. When the veil was off, he says, oh me, this is not Rachel. Why has it happened? You know, he takes off his pajamas and he puts on his wet clothes. He goes to his father and says, now tell me, explain this. What have you done to me? He says, oh, you know, no problem. You know, in our land, you know, we don't give away the younger while the older still. That's why we just did the exchange. But this is not the agreement. He says, no problem. You can just work another 7 years and then you'll get here again. Okay, no problem. He goes to work again. 7 years! And then he's given the bride of his choice. But he was faithful. He never got Laban by the collar and said, how can you do that to me? Because he knew he had to depend on God and at least he had to be righteous. When he was out there looking after the sheep, maybe somehow a bear would come and grab one sheep. Laban, when he goes out to the field, Laban makes sure he takes the accountant to write to down all the numbers. 10 bulls, 5 cows, 10 goats, 3 sheep, everything had to be booked. When he comes back in the tomorrow morning, he has got to take account. Now, where is the other one? Well, it was stolen. Okay, I'll book you down. One shot. It must be replaced. And Jacob replaced every animal that was killed or stolen. He was faithful. Can you see? You know, that's why God is the God of Jacob. You know, he knew how to train Jacob to be faithful. Because Jacob knew, I have nothing of my own. All that I am going to have and all that I have is from God. Now, if I don't do it right, I'm in problems. After all, back home there, there's Esau, he's after me. I have nothing to get from there. And all my life depends on God. So he had to be faithful. And for 20 years, the other six years, you know, he would come to his father-in-law and say, now, 1 year is past.
What's my wages? He says, okay. We'll sell all the cattle, you know, with the horns that are at least tipped like that, you know. They are all yours. And then God will make all the cattle have their horns tipped like that. Then the man will come and say, oh no, you know, I made a mistake. You know, you have worked very good, you know. I can't give you cattle with horns tipped like that. You know, you have got to have the good ones. Okay, we'll just say all the slabbed are yours. Then all the cattle to bear young ones with the slabs. Then the man will say, no, you know, slab, you know, they don't look nice. Let's say all the white are yours. Can you? He kept on changing. But Jacob never argued with him. Why? Because he knew God has got to be my protection. God has got to be with me. Because from the word go, I was not worthy of all these things. I was born without the birthright, God gave me. I was born without the blessing, God gave me. Can you see? And now God has brought me here. He will see me through. And he's the God of Jacob. That's why when Pharaoh asked him, how old art thou? He says, the days of my pilgrimage were evil and they were few. They were not easy. They were not like everybody else. It looked like the odds were against him every time. You know, sometimes it happens like that. You know, you try to be faithful. You try to preach the right message and the right thing. And everybody is saying, ah, what? You know, there was one person, you know, he was riding in a car going to church. Then he saw a sister with a spoken word book. Then he asked her, where are you going? She says, I'm going to church. He said, but you are coming from there. We understand that there's a church there where Brother Ferem preaches. Where are you going there? He says, oh, Brother Ferem just preaches the message. She hasn't seen me. She just heard. Can you see? Yes, you know, I'm trying to preach the word, you know, faithfully. You know, just somebody came into our city, into our area, Shtubiza. You know, within 3 months, he had established a church with over 300 people. Built a church, a good one. Then I would question myself, but what's wrong with me? I've been here for 20 years and I barely have 70 people. What's happening? You know what happens next? He's in polygamy now, that man. Can you see? Sometimes things, they look awkward to you, but it will make you depend on God. Can you see? Things that are not right, they can have maybe the blessing. Can you see? Do you know when Jacob tried to give Esau some cattle and some cows, some goats, Esau refused. He says, I've got plenty. Where did he get the plenty? From his father. Because Jacob never got inheritance there. Everything that was Abraham's was given to Isaac. Everything that was Isaac's was given to Esau. Can you see? He had plenty of it. But here's Jacob trying to live right. But everything is against him. Can you see that? He's trying to do the right thing. But he's not appreciated. Can you see? You know, I was with my friend, you know, the one who stopped you in the middle of your preaching. We visited another young upcoming pastor. You know, we just visited his home, you know. It was quite a nice home. He had the latest car outside, and his house was carpeted from the porch there, everywhere, wall to wall, you know. Very nice. You know, you may not understand it because of your standards here in Singapore, but they are different, you know. Then my friend says, you know, this is the sign of a man of God. Not you. Suddenly, you know, walking on foot. Can you say, this is the sign? But it did not take long.
That man, he's got five wives now.
Right.
Can you see? So it ends the looks. Sometimes, you know, you try to do that which is right, and it looks like all the odds against you. But it is God. Amen. Now, he was mistreated here, but he kept true. Now, finally, when he left Laban and he was going back to the land of his fathers, we know what happened. He heard that Esau was coming. Let's just go to chapter 32. He started to pray. We know what happened there. And then while he was wrestling with this angel, let's just read verse 26. Chapter 32, verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince is thou power with God and with man, and has prevailed." Verse 28. You know, my King James version is this New English. Can you just, Brother Dan, read for me verse 28?
And he said, "The name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed."
Can you see? Now, Jacob is told here that your name is no longer Jacob, but it's now Israel. For as a prince, you have fought with God and with men, and have prevailed. How can a man prevail over God? Yet Jacob is given the credit. Now let's look at the life of Jacob. You know, Jacob was born minus the birthright. So we can see that it is nature, and nature is controlled by God. So, naturally, Jacob was born without the privilege of the birthright. That means he was denied the right to the blessing by nature. And nature is God. Can you see? It is God who determines whether you are going to be born a day or a boy. It's God who determines when you are going to be born. Can you see? Because you know you were your father and your grandfather. Is that right? So before you were born, Brother Captain, you were in your father and his father. Can you see? So maybe you are number 7. But all these six from the great great grandfather up to you, number 7, all these six, you were all in your great 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 grandfather. So you could have been born number 5. But God chose you to be number 7. Can you see? You could have been your father's father.
Yeah.
Can you see? But God chose you to be a son of your father. So it is God choosing. It is God who ordains our birth. So here Jacob is born without the birthright by virtue of nature. Can you see? And nature is controlled by God. And Laban had his cattle, his sheep, and his children. When Jacob came there, he just said, "Okay, I'll look after your sheep." And he started to look after Laban's sheep. You know, Laban, he says, "Okay, I'll give you my daughter." And then he says, "Okay, I'll work 7 years for your daughter." And then Laban gives him the elder. not Rachel, eh? Thinking he was crooking Jacob. Yet it was an advantage to Jacob. Because after getting Rachel, he also got Rebecca. I mean, he gets Rachel. Can you see? So who won that? It was Jacob. Not only that, these two sisters started to fight. And each one gave him an extra wife. So he had four. Can you see? Whenever they try to fight with Jacob, you know, the blessing comes on Jacob. So there's no man who can stand before Jacob and prevail. Laban stood before Jacob, and then when Jacob was leaving Laban, he called his wives. He says, "Now Leah and Rhea, dear, let's discuss this. Let's talk frankly. You know, I came here. Your father had a few sheep, but my God blessed your father. And he has got many now. And then my God took your father's cattle and gave them to me. And you also. So I'm going back to the land of my father. What will you say?" Then the daughter said, "What can we say? Our fathers, you gave him our prize, and he has consumed it. So we don't belong to our father. We belong to you. We go with you."
Yes.
Okay, let's go. And when Laban tried to pursue Jacob, God met him in the night. He says, "Be careful not to say good or bad to Jacob." He was neutralized. He could not go to Jacob and say bad to him. So Jacob here is prevailing. Esau is coming there, and Jacob's name has been changed. And Esau, he comes with 400 men, but by the time he reaches Jacob, Jacob humbles himself, he bows down 3 times before he gets to Esau. And then Esau says, no problem. He forgets that he has come to fight him. He says, "Okay, no problem." He says, "Now, my master, I want to give you this as a gift." He says, "Okay, you can keep it. I've got a lot back home. Okay? But now, let's go together." Then Jacob says, "No, my master, my lord, I cannot go with you. You know, we've got little ewes, we've got all these. You know, they cannot make it a strong man. You walk strong. So this cannot go." "Okay, I'll go." Can you see? He has prevailed again. Can you see? Now, so were you. The Bible tells us here, by nature, you were born dead in sin, like everybody else. You were alienated from God. You were Gentile. By nature, you had no commonwealth with Israel. You were not in the covenant. You had no hope. You had no God. You were just in darkness.
Right.
Nature was against you. You could not come to God. By nature, you were condemned. Can you see? That's the same way. But praise God, there's a God of Jacob. Can you see? Who allows himself to be overcome by a man. So what did Jacob do? Jacob went to Esau and he prevailed over him. And he took the birthright from Esau. That means Jacob fought against nature, which is controlled by God, and he won. He took the birthright. Can you see? You cannot change your birth. But Jacob did. From the last born, he became the first born. Can you see? That means he overcame God. He overcame what God had done. That's why he has given the credit. You have prevailed over man and God. He is the God of Jacob.
Amen.
Can you see? You know, he can come down. So much that you can be lifted up and put in your right position. Irrespective of your background. Irrespective of how the devil did whatever he did to you. Because there is this promise that before Jacob was born, God said, "Jacob have I loved." So was it with you. Before the world began, before the world was formed, God said, "Bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." But when you were born, nature was against you. You were born outside the covenant. As they were laid out here on earth. The covenant was covenant between God and Israel. Can you see? But before that, there was this covenant which was made between you and God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But by nature, you were born outside the covenant, which came 400 years later. Can you see? So you had to overcome this. And the Bible says you were given the new birth. Can you see? That means you did away with your old birth. You did away with that birth which condemned you, which brought you into sin, which married you to the world, which caused you to bring forth children of this of evil, or rather fruits of evil and the devil. So you were born again and brought now into the light of the purpose of God. So He is your God. He is the God of Jacob. Irrespective of what you were and how you were, you prevailed over all things that would have made you not able to be blessed and be in the commonwealth of Israel. Amen. But you know, with Jacob, because of his dependence upon God, you know what happened to Diana when they were in that land, that in that town of Shechem? How, you know, that young man took her and defiled her. You know what happened? That Simeon and Levi, you know, they deceived those men of the city. If you want to marry our sister, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to be in this covenant. And then the man said, okay, no problem. But when they were circumcised, then Simeon and Levi went into the city and killed them all. After they killed them all, Jacob told them, said, now what is this you've done to me, Levi and Simeon? The people of the land are going to rise up against me and fight me. But his son says, why did he treat our sister like a harlot? Jacob did not want violence with any man. Can you see? Because he wanted to depend on God. But though this thing happened, because of his dependence on God, God protected him. And then we come to chapter 35. God told Jacob, now rise and go to Bethel. I'm the God of Bethel. Then Jacob called all his household. He said, now come near to me. I want every one of you to surrender all the foreign gods that are with you. Mm-hmm. They started to bring them. Bring everything. All the rings. All those you put on your nose. All that you put in your legs. Bracelets and what have you. Bring them here. And all those clothes which are not fit putting on, bring them here. And they brought them all there. He dug a big hole, put them underneath there, covered them, and then he told his family, now arise, let us go to Bethel. There I met the angel. There God talked with me. There God promised me that he's going to make me great. Now I'm going to Bethel. Because of his dependence upon God, he did not tolerate sin to be in his life. He wanted to be clean and perfect before God. He is the God of Jacob. Amen. And then lastly, maybe in closing, let's just go to chapter 48. Verse 15-16. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now here's Jacob blessing Joseph. He's blessing the sons of Jacob, of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim. He says, now the God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the God who fed me all my days, and who delivered me from all evil. He said, let my name be named on these children. Let the name of Abraham be named in these children. Let the name of Isaac be named in these children. Let the continuity of God, as it was in the life of Abraham, as it was in the life of Isaac, as it was in my life, let it continue in these children. How you dealt with Abraham, how you dealt with Isaac, and how you dealt with me, let all these three be combined. The God who raised Abraham from the dead and gave him the word and gave him that perfect faith. The God who protected Isaac from all death and filth. And the God who protected me from all evil. This combination now, let it be now in these children. Let it be shown in these children. These children, let them not have a historical account of Abraham, but let the name of Abraham be in them. Let the very blessing of God which was in Abraham be in them. Now, Jacob can come now before God with all the assurance that God is God, and he wants all that God is to be in his children. That's why God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All that God was to Abraham, all that God was to Isaac, all that God was to Jacob, God now is bringing it onto the seed of Jacob. And you are the seed of Jacob by faith. You are the seed of Abraham by faith. Now all that God is yours now. Can you see? He is your God. He's not an historical God. He's a God who is alive. That's why the Bible says he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Can you see? Don't be discouraged by whatever comes through your life. As long as your eyes are on the promise. He's the God of Jacob. The odds may be against you. Even nature itself may be against you. People who are supposed to be spiritual may not even see the purpose of God in you. But don't be discouraged. He's the God of Father. He's the God of Jacob. He knows your heart. He knows why he has called you. He knows why he has let you go through these things. Can you see that? But one thing, you've got to be faithful. Can you see? Don't just go. Don't just walk. You know, just to please man. Be faithful to the calling of God. You should know where this God is. Can you see? You should know what time you are living in. Can you see? You must be serious. Because when Jacob was going to Bethel, he knew what was supposed to be done when going to Bethel. You know, we just don't live a straight, smooth life. There are stages we come to. Can you see? You know, some of us were blessed to be brought up in a Christian family. Sure, that was good for you. But it will come time when you have to stand and say, now I'm going to Bethel. Right. Can you see? Now I'm going to Bethel. I'm no longer carried in my mother's hands. I'm no longer on my mother's lap. Now I'm going to Bethel on my own. I must stand my ground. I must know what I'm doing. I must give my life to God. I must wholly depend upon him. That the name of Abraham, the name of Jacob, the name of Isaac may be in you. Can you see? All that God was to Abraham, all that God was to Isaac, all that God was to Jacob is still living today in those who are of the faith of Abraham. Can you see? All these three had the same faith. But God made them go through different ways to show that irrespective of what you can go through, God is still God. There's nothing that can deter God from the purpose He had for you before the foundation of the world. Can you see? But one thing you've got to be is you must be faithful. You go through thick and thin, be faithful to the cause. Can you see? You must be faithful. Like that woman at the well, she was faithful to the cause. Yes, I know. I'm doing this. We are worshipping in the mountain. And the Jews, they say in Jerusalem, but we know when the Messiah comes, you tell us all things. And then the Lord said, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. She was sincere in what she was saying. Can you see? You have got to be sincere. Can you see? Don't just force yourself, keep on pumping water from this old well. When the revelation comes, why don't you face Him and say, give me that water?
Right.
It's no longer time to draw water from this well. Give me that water. Where is the source of that water that will give me life? You must be sincere. Can you see? It's not just something that will just come your way. You have got to be sincere. Are you sincere to the cause and the call of God in this hour? What God is doing in your town, in your country, in your continent, in your time? Can you see? Be sincere. He's the God of Jacob. You know, He proved in Jacob that sincerity is a standard to be maintained. But not just, you know, mere sincerity. The prophet said you can be sincerely wrong, sure. It's not just a mere sincerity. You can be sincere in something that is wrong, but you must be sincere in the thing that is right. Knowing and discerning the time you are living in.
Right.
He's the God of Jacob. You know, He let Jacob go through all of these things that he may know that God is God. Whatever you have gone through, however people interpret your life, don't worry about that. But know one thing, am I sincere in what I'm doing? Am I walking the right way? Because that's what Jacob said. He said, I did not bring the fear of my father, Abraham. I did not bring the holiness of my father, Isaac. I would have come from your home with nothing. But with my hands I worked. Sleep left my eyes. During the day it was the heat. During the night it was the cold. But I was sincere. I never stole anything from you. He lived a life that was straightforward. He lived a life that he could bring before anybody at any time. And you know, God is still a God who protects. Can you see? So may God bless you. He's still the God of Jacob to us all. You lead us. He'll guide us, and He'll give us all that is needful as we pursue this last journey. God bless you.